You guys ready?
Got all chipmunky there for a minute. Did you hear that?
That was impressive. Oh my gosh.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's the call sheet with Keith Coogan and Gus.
How are you, buddy?
Nice. I'm doing good. How you doing? Hey, everybody, call in if you've had a really big meal or if you've drank what you needed to drink. Or if you smoke them, if you got them, always swallow whatever it is that the doctor tells you to.
I don't even know what that means.
If that's the case, call in 1-800-893-9562. Call in with your top comedy movies of all time. Your favorite comedy movie. Could be this year, could be epic, it could be a silent film. Who cares? Top comedy movies of all time. The number again is 800-893-9562. Don't be afraid to call. What are you scared of?
That's a good topic. I can go off on that for a while. Good comedies. Oh, I can go off on that for a while. Easily my favorite genre. Like I said, usually because I don't need to go find people that I don't know, have them defined and then killed off. So generally, I don't need that. I can watch the news if I want that, which also annoys me. So comedies, love them. This is a great topic.
The New Beverly Cinema just did a Ghostbusters. And Groundhog Day. On Groundhog Day, they played Groundhog Day.
Oh, nice. Happy Groundhog Day. Can you explain that to me? Do you understand Groundhog Day?
I absolutely understand it, but I can't explain it to you.
Well,
I know the secret.
Well, because here's what I don't understand this. I don't understand, similar to like Wall Street and women, I don't understand how Groundhog Day works. We have technology now. What's with the groundhog? Like, I mean, if the groundhog comes out and sees the shadow, but, you know, Dallas Raines goes, no, the groundhog's an idiot. Who wins that battle?
No, they pre-plan. They look at the charts and they go, all right, we're going to say he sees his shadow this year. And then it's going to be more weeks of winter, which happened this year.
But there's a handful of weird people that go out there.
It's spring right now. It's like June in Los Angeles.
But there's a handful of people that go out there to watch this groundhog.
Big event.
Does the groundhog in on the fix? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, he's well taken care of. He's like stocked up with little groundhog niblets. And he's like once a year, he's like bothered and they bring him out and like parade his ass around.
Punxsutawney Phil, we have 30 seconds before we're on. And he's like, oh, okay, wait. So you want me to see the shadow or I'm not seeing the shadow?
I thought he died. I thought they replaced him. I'm not sure. There could be another quote. Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, I assume this is not the same.
Like Wilbur, but he's, you know, groomed for this his whole life. One day you're going to be the groundhog that's out there. Speaking of groundhogs, Caddyshack was probably an all-time favorite of everybody. Caddyshack is, you know, some people hate it, some people love it. I think that it can create any sort of intense feeling like that is awesome. Dancing gophers or groundhogs, whatever you want to call it. I think it was a gopher, right?
It was a gopher.
You got Ted Knight and Rodney. Such a great cast.
Chevy Chase, whew, Bill Murray.
My God.
You know, and the old...
You're done there.
Yeah, exactly. And the old story was that they were halfway through filming and realized we don't even have a scene with Chevy Chase and Bill Murray in it.
Do you mind if I play through?
Oh, that's nice. That is nice.
Oh, and Murray, of course, improvised his whole, you know, here he is, the kid. He's coming up and he's having at it with the poinsettias or whatever. That whole thing.
They took a lunch and they all basically figured out how to write that scene. They said, we need to get these two guys in the same scene. So while filming, they went, oh, shit, all right, well, let's put these guys in the same scene. Rumor has it, at least going in, they weren't necessarily big fans of each other. That is the story. And there's actually a scene, and I don't know how true it is, but there's a scene where I believe Bill Murray's riding the mower and Chevy's on the side of it. And, you know, he's telling him, all right, well, when we do the take, just go slow. And, you know, boom, steps on the gas and turns that thing. And Chevy goes flying off. They were,
because correct me if I'm wrong, Chevy Chase was the first season Saturday Night Live cast member who quit the show. And Bill Murray had to step into his shoes.
That is correct.
The Second City days, and
there was a rivalry. I think a lot of the same friends, and some sort of, well, in hindsight, I don't know how many friends Chevy Chase had, but it seems like a lot of the same group they hung out with, and then there was some sort of rivalry between those two.
And ladies and gentlemen, I am actually sitting with here tonight a face, a cast member of Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Gus was actually in Ghostbusters. We watched the clip the other night. You're at the very end of the credits.
I dominate that movie.
You so dominate. T-shirt kid. Yeah.
I'm a T-shirt kid. I was in, I believe, fifth or sixth grade, and I was an extra in that movie. There was maybe, I think I missed like 4 days of school, which that alone was awesome.
Victory.
Oh, such a huge win. And there was maybe four kids. My mom was also an extra. That's how I was able to do it. And then it was, I think, four kids total, maybe. And
you're absolutely recognizable. I see you sitting right there in all joy, holding them. Looked like you're hawking a T-shirt.
Oh, I was the happiest little kid.
Little Ghostbuster shirt.
We ran across the street to the side of the road where all the extras that are in some sort of costume, all the specialty extras were. And we ran across the street because there were no kids. We're like, oh, look at that. Let's go stand on that fake piece of building, which we were not supposed to be there. Somebody said, hey, you kids supposed to be here? We went, yeah. And he went, oh, nice. Okay, well, here, give me these two T-shirts. Okay, jump up and down with these two T-shirts. And then I watched the movie, and we're 99.9% through it. And I'm like, ah, shit, they didn't show us. And then there they are, a close-up on one-foot-tall Gus jumping up and down, waving a T-shirt.
Were you just the stud at school? I mean, when that came out, was that like...
I was as studly as a sixth grader could be. Yes, for
it was
a
huge
week.
I mean, that was huge. I remember it came out, and I was like 11 or 12 or something like that, and it was just it was huge. Everybody imitated. Everybody was Venkman for Halloween.
So quotable.
Yeah,
that was a great movie. I think at the time might have been the highest grossing comedy of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, it's a fact that if I say confidently, it's very
so rolling with you on that one.
Very believable, if even if it's not, if I just say it with confidence.
And it's got a sci-fi, you know, kind of a thriller or thing to it. It's kind of scary at times, too. And other movies might fall into that, like sci-fi thing, like Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is a great
kind
one.
Of a movie.
Spaceballs is a great one. Although we can probably fill up a top 10 list almost with just Mel Brooks movies.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Spaceballs, I don't know if that's going to make the top Mel Brooks.
There's
movies.
A Blazing Saddles in there, or a, what were we talking about the other day? Instead of Blazing Saddles, History of the World Part One.
Yes.
What, you know, if you had to like kick one off the list for the other, what would it be? History of the World Part One.
A lot of people go Blazing Saddles. A lot of people go
Call in 800-893-9500. 562. If you have a passionate belief of one Mel Brooks movie over another, call in 800-893-9562. Doesn't cost you a goddamn thing.
Nothing, you said.
If you're listening live, it's right there on the webpage in front of you, and your phone's there, and you probably like got the unlimited minutes or some crap like that. It's toll free. Call in.
You see this fat lip I got here?
What's that from?
I tried to play a little softball today. I have not done a lot of sports, and even though that's barely a sport, anything you can play with a beer in your hand is not really a sport, but I figured I can use whatever version of exercise I could get. So I went out there, and I am so comically out of shape. I would lose a long-distance run to Stephen Hawking, I'm pretty sure. I am not in good shape. When you jog to the position, and then you're winded, That's not a good sign. Game didn't start. I needed a break.
We used to play softball or whatnot back in the 90s, early 90s. I was like 22, 23, cigarette in mouth. I was like Jim Belushi in Sexual Perversity in Chicago or About Last Night. I'm like, we're playing like keg softball, whatever. You got to get to second base and like pound a beer. And I'm just
great game.
Yeah, I didn't do the basketball. Like, someone would get hurt. I wouldn't jump when I should, and they'd like come down and hurt their nose on my head. I'm so short.
Yeah, but
to
your defense, most of the kids in your school probably, or that you were going to school with, were not working at the time like you were.
A few were. I had the twins that were on the Little House on the Prairie. Robin and Rachel Greenbush, Lindsay and Sydney Greenbush, Robin and Rachel Bush. They played the littlest little girl on Little House on the Prairie. One of my best friends, Gabe, was in Real Genius, Gabe Jarrett.
Oh, nice.
There were tons. Scotty Schwartz, Scott Menville, who was the voice in, oh, God, they did that Tim Burton animated series with the dog. Anyway, he was a million
things. That look on my face.
No, there was a couple of kids that we came with. Jake Busey was right down the street, but he hadn't started acting yet.
No. Well, his dad probably scared him out of it for a while.
Yeah.
His dad had yet to hit the cycle of reality shows that he's now dominating.
His dad was so cool. He had a birthday party and his dad had a Polaroid out and was just snapping like real Polaroids.
Really?
And, like, handing them out. It was really fun, yeah. Nice. They built a skateboard ramp, like a whole half pipe in their backyard. But it was the Buseys, right? So they, it was also a community in Malibu. It was like, you tracked homes, but it was nice, but it wasn't, super rich.
Right.
They had to sign waivers before we got on the skateboard ramp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, dude, we're outlaws. We're skateboarders. Fuck that punk rock. Yeah. No, I'll sign it. I waive off this and indemnity. And no, it's fine.
That's nice. Although there's an outside chance that he did end up making one of those, a half pipe, but he was just trying to make a driveway. Not out of the realm of possibility. It's like, man, this really doesn't seem that level. I don't understand what's going on. Let's throw a party. That is bizarre.
Jake tried to teach me how to ride a motorcycle. At 15, 16 years old. He had two bikes, like a smaller one he used to ride than his new one. And I'm like, hey, would you teach me how to ride? He's like, sure. So we're in front of a street way up the canyon in Trancas. It's like a total dead end. Way up, like he lived near the top. He's showing me, and here's the clutch, and we start to, security or cop comes up the street, and you're not supposed to have like off-road bikes on the street, whatever.
Especially when you're 15.
And I'm barely like figuring out how to like get it started, and Jake bolts.
Nice.
He's like, fuck. He runs, and just bolts off, and the cop thing goes chasing him all the way through the fields up into the thing. They got helicopters out looking for his ass. You're not supposed to ride the bikes because of the like spark arresters or some fire. Damn, I know Malibu's burned a lot of times. So Jake tried to show me how to, and he became a wanted fugitive.
That's
awful.
That's nice. And they left a 15-year-old there to fend for himself.
Yeah, no, I was like, I just pushed it back into the garage. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, look at the helicopter. That's nice.
That's very nice.
All right, thank you, Jake, for trying.
Thank you very much, Jake, for trying and then leaving me there to get arrested. That's awesome. Hey, you only go to juvie. You're fine. You'll be fine. Are you going to watch the Super Bowl? At least pretend to care?
No. Yeah, because there's great ads.
Yeah, and you know what? I hate to say it. When it's not the Giants, I am very interested in the ads.
There's good ads. You obviously are a Giants fan. You want you're New York.
I need you Giants to pretend to be a Giants fan.
There's a slight favorite. The New England Patriots
two and a half.
Are picked.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with
two
that.
And a half.
2.5 points are getting.
That's not even a kick.
No. Yeah, I mean,
wow,
it's a basic,
really
almost
crazy.
A pick 'em. Pretty much a pick 'em. Yeah, I need you to pretend that you're a Giants fan for the next 24 hours.
No. I mean,
I know in theory you don't give a shit, but you know.
Couldn't name a player or a number or
just name a team.
Whatever.
Just name the Giants is all you
I'm
need.
I'm totally down for your team.
That's all I need.
You know why I don't care?
That's why.
Do you know why?
Oh, why?
Because I live in Los Angeles, and we don't have a fucking football team.
Yeah, that is fair. But here's the thing is, are you not the only city to lose a football team at least two times? At least two times you lost a football team. What the hell is that?
What is that, like Rams and Raiders you're talking about?
The Rams and the Raiders, and I think you might have lost the Raiders twice. Like, didn't
probably.
The Raiders
are they around anymore?
Yeah, the Raiders got like a month-to-month lease. Like, what is going on with you guys? But they were talking.
Not a month to month.
They constantly talk about bringing them back.
Got to win the next couple of games or you're out.
Exactly. Hey, guys, our bills are due, and we have a losing record. We're going. We're moving south. They're trying to get a team back here, but I don't know if that's going to
happen. What are you doing first? So you're obviously not going to a party with people.
No. Got people.
Okay, no.
Oh, good Lord, no.
Dip or like double dipping and lots of people with, the beer.
No,
the fridge.
It's just
empty.
I don't need people rooting for. I don't need people rooting for other shit other than what I'm rooting for tomorrow.
That would be.
I mean, I have a handful of people that I'm probably going to watch it with who are also Giant fans. But otherwise, yeah, I don't. I'll be a nervous wreck. I'll probably be. I'm not a stable individual, as I've said before, and I will be a nervous wreck for the game. So I'll watch it with other nervous.
So as
wreck
much
people.
As you are this political guy. this aware guy. You know, you're up on the news. You've got your own show on SkidRowStudios.com. The wrap up.
The weekly wrap up.
The weekly wrap up. And yet you fall for this bread and circuses, this gladiator show in the Coliseum to distract us from wars and economy and elections. And really, you fall for this?
What was that middle thing?
Something about
yes,
go Giants.
Yes, whatever the hell you were saying.
About go Giants.
Here's the thing is, I don't fall for it necessarily if it's not the Giants, but when the Giants are there, I fell for it. Fell for it.
Forgiven.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's
I'm cool. If there was an LA team in there, I'd go apeshit. I'd like paint my face black and gray or whatever.
Be a huge fan for a week and a half, and then we're over it.
But, you know, LA, though, does have a legacy of the Raiders outfits and coveted. You look hard ass wearing that shit.
Yeah, that is especially you see the clips with the guys with the big spiked shoulder pads, and you're like,
yeah, where are we? I'm lost. Go ask the guy in the big Raiders jacket.
Yeah, no, don't ever do that. But what do you think about the halftime show? What do you think about Madonna?
Oh, she will be relevant again for a while. If there's no like costume malfunction, then wardrobe malfunction. Then, you know, we'll see. I mean, she said that she came to her own limitations. She was designing the show. She's like, oh, I've got this palette and, we have to rush out there in 12 minutes and perform and do 14 minutes, whatever, and then get off the damn the field. They're on the actual field that they actually do the Super Bowl on. So she said, you know, okay, I'll have these people flying in. And they're like, well, this can't take the weight of the, okay, fine. I'll do this. And all of it, she had to like realize how to be groundbreaking and extravagant and crazy, especially in like the Lady Gaga world.
Yeah,
meat dresses and
she
shit
won't.
Like
I mean,
that.
She's birthing
herself on stage.
She's, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting because there's a fine line between she's not afraid to push that limit. She went and when you didn't talk about her for a while, she ended up saying, "All right, well, let me make out with the two hot chicks of the day," and Britney Spears and
that totally worked.
That 100% worked, and then. And then after that,
and consistently producing and making music and videos,
humanitarian, to talk about you, to get people to talk about you, she knows how to at least make a splash. But ever since, you know, ever since the Janet Jackson incident, which the malfunction nonsense, ever since then, McCartney in 2005, Stones in 2006, Tom Petty in 2008, The Who in 2009.
Tom Petty was pretty great.
I love every one of those.
Great.
Every one of those entertainers I just mentioned. But could there be less chance? Nice. Could there be less chance of a wardrobe malfunction with any of those people?
Unless maybe Mick Jagger.
Unless
I don't know.
Mick Jagger's balls fall out the bottom of his shorts, none of these guys are going to be
unless
naked.
Unless Tom Petty has his last dance with Mary Jane live on network television.
It is just not happening. What the hell is that? What the hell was that? What is that? Has a fake bong hit? Is that what
that
is?
I guess. I don't know. They're rock and rollers. They're supposed to be dangerous and edgy and sexy and 60.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. There's not one of them that's... And I love every one of them. I would love to see every single one of those guys.
Oh, for shit.
But it's just interesting where you go from, Janet's tit came out to, okay, don't get me anybody under 65.
I missed it. We were watching at a party, like a backyard party, and in the hills. Dave Dixon, Double D, woo, shout out. Anyway, we were watching the Super Bowl in halftime, and I'm kind of bored. I'm like, okay, yeah, Justin Timberlake, and sexy. You got your sexy back, and you're, you know, all of a sudden someone goes, did you see that? And there was like an 8-year-old there, a girl. And she was sitting there glued. She was 3 feet from the TV. She was like glued to like, what did I just see?
She's
the whole
boob.
Sun,
she's boob.
Silver little nipple clamp that Janet Jackson had on. And
I missed
it. It was obviously
planned
because the lyric was, I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song.
Of course.
Obviously planned. They shenagled out of that and huge fines. And then have you noticed it loosened ever since then?
Well,
and
sure.
For 3 years, all of network television was really fucking clamped down on and rights group, parents' rights. And
the fines were ridiculous after that. Ridiculous. Yeah. It was like $1 million.
But they kept slipping them. Every time an incident came up, they go, well, you know, I remember growing up in the context of news, they could say anything. On news, on like 11 o'clock news, they could be like, this shit's fucking storming.
No, they could.
And on Channel 5, they would play. Channel 5 had a great thing here in L.A. If any movie won an Oscar, they'd play it uncut. which was really cool. So it'd be like Midnight Express. You know, Billy!
That's nice.
And they would play uncut, and you would get to see really cool shit. What was that? Street Smart?
I have no idea what the hell you're talking
Morgan
about.
Morgan Freeman?
I still don't know.
Christopher Reeves?
You can keep naming people? I still don't know what the hell you're talking about. I understand that.
I believe Morgan Freeman was nominated for an Oscar, so bitch off.
You know, you start naming actors.
Which eye? Left eye? Which eye? He's like going to poke Will a woman's Wheaton. Eye Will out Wheaton. With a fucking... Do you know what I'm talking
about?
What
is Will Wheaton?
Will Wheaton. Will
Wheaton. Was Demi Moore in that movie? Was Demi Moore in that movie? Did she pull out of that movie?
No.
Okay. I was just making sure that happened sometimes.
did she pull out of that movie? She's in rehab, apparently. That's all we hear. Maybe she's seeking. That's what the last thing I read was she's seeking counseling or rehab on this.
Last I read was she was seeking Zac Efron. That was the last I read.
Oh, stalking him down, according to insider reports.
Stalking her down, but then if you actually read under the headline, it was like, well, she approached him at a party and she already knows him. But that being said, funnier to put tracks down in quotes, which is what...
Why does Zach like hang out with her kids?
Yeah. Kid, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Rumor's friend. By the way, which is a little bizarre, but
we're not going to make any judgments on Demi this week. We hope she's getting the help and support that she needs.
Speak for yourself,
Demi.
By the
we
way.
Love you. We love you regardless of
what is this
49 years old. Everybody, the public, come on, we love her. We want to see
this
comeback.
I'm getting ready to make fun of her. What are you talking about?
Go ahead then, make fun of her.
She whippeted her ass off at 49.
I know
what
that's
you about?
Will never live that down. That's one of those things.
Well, then what is that? We
forever.
Love you. We love you. Get what is that crap? What
on
is
her
that?
On her gravestone, it's going to be like. Dude, whippets.
Yeah,
like,
well, and then when her 34-year-old husband leaves her, she looks for the 25-year-old.
Because she's got, like, the Q rating now or whatever. Her searches are up on Twitter. I don't know.
If Zac Efron...
She's a trending theme, whatever you call
if
it.
If she doesn't land Zac Efron, she's going to start combing to sixth grade for people.
Demi Moore is a meme. She's going to start robbing the cradle that
That's
young.
What I'm saying. She's going to start combing the elementary schools looking for the next Mr. Wright. You know, she won't have a hard time finding one, but,
well, there's other actresses that settle down.
Like Lindsay
kids.
Lohan. Lindsay Lohan settled down in Chateau Marmont. She settled down. She moved. Did she move?
She got the hell out of her Venice digs, apparently on, what day was it? Like Thanksgiving Day or something? She had a stalker and knocked on the door and was like, I want to talk to her. And she got really scared or something. She's been in Chateau Marmont ever since.
That sounds safe.
Chateau and not Marmont, officially paying.
Well, she's a guest.
Yeah, no. In the high rolling days, Lindsay would rent one of the bungalows, you know, like the John Belushi bungalows, and really party it up.
For those that in don't know, case, Chateau Marmont is a famous hotel here in Hollywood that is, one, a tourist spot, and two, there's been some famous, handful of famous people, and not to mention place of John Belushi's death. Jim Morrison almost died there, fell like two stories onto God knows what or who. But go ahead, continue. So she moved there, you're saying,
and
she's a guest.
Into a friend of hers who's an artist who has a room there in the hotel proper.
The hotel proper?
Yeah, not the like bungalows, but like a room.
Gotcha.
And he's out of town, so she's staying there gratis.
Yeah, I see no way that backfires. Nothing bad happens at Chateau.
No, you can't walk out and like see craziness at the bar.
No. She's like, that's good.
But she's been cleared on her thing. She never, ever was under any sort of drug test or alcohol test requirement.
Really?
Yeah. That was not a requirement of a probation.
Wasn't she like caught driving drunk to her hearing for driving drunk?
Allegedly, she even brought cocaine into when she was pulled in. She had cocaine in her pockets that she said were a friend's that had borrowed them, and that whore had cocaine in it. I don't know. I didn't notice it the whole drive, allegedly, while I kidnapped two guys who were like, dude, she's crazy and driving nuts. And all the way from Malibu into Santa Monica through into the parking lot of the police station. I don't understand.
That is amazing. Has anybody dropped out of that movie since we've spoken last? Anybody?
No.
Nobody?
We're good.
Okay, that's good. There's more people to pull out of Lovelace.
Lovelace. And someone said to me today, what's the fascination with Linda Lovelace and Deep Throat and everything? What's the big deal?
I have no idea.
The documentary was great. Behind Deep Throat or whatever it was called. Deeper into Deep Throat.
I never saw it. Didn't know there already was a Lovelace
movie. Well, what was great about it, was totally privately produced, independently owned, and they made a fuck ton of money releasing it. It was at the Pussycat Theater on Western, right off Sunset Boulevard, for years. For 20, 30 years it played, until they tore the damn theater down. The reason was that somehow they made a fuck up in the rights, and they were giving, or supposed to give, like only 50% of the cut. So theaters played it forever.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I know nothing about the Loveless movie.
No. Huge. So everybody knows Deep Throat and is, you know, familiar with that. And they think it was made under duress and this poor woman, and looks like a snuff film. There's a great documentary on snuff films. You got to watch it.
There's not a chance Netflix. I'm watching. It's a fucking horrible idea.
It's called Snuff. About how they're all urban legends. Every single one of them. They try to track down. They track down like 5-6 cases of what he thinks are ironclad. These are the ones they talk of.
Did you
watch Faces of the Death?
No.
When you were a kid? Not top comedy movies of all time.
I've seen clips, but no. I've already told you, I have no desire to watch people die. I have no desire to watch fake people die.
It was pretty fake. There was obviously real accidents.
I have no desire to turn on the news. They love to turn on. I turn on the news, and they're like, "Well, this person just died, and we'll talk to her surviving family member." You're like, why? Why are we talking to that person? I know she's sad. I don't know the person that died. 3 people that are watching this news program know the person that died. Why are we? I don't understand news. I don't understand any of that. It pisses me off nowadays. But hey, it's on, and nobody gives a shit what Gus wants to watch. So they do it, and they make it sad. Mel Gibson, by the way, was coming out with a movie now also.
Yes.
That isn't
Get
even going
the Gringo.
To theater.
Yeah,
not even going to theaters.
Yes, Get the Gringo is a direct to home video on demand, and then Blu-ray DVD. He is skipping theaters. He's going to charge like $10.99, I think, or $11. It's like $11, I think.
Now it should be said that no Jews were actually harmed during the filming of this movie, from what I understand.
Wounded. There was a few wounded.
That probably the case. Yes, but yeah, it's amazing.
And then he's got, and that's the kind of thing. It's like I couldn't do that. You know, maybe Matthew McConaughey, really? Could he? Mel Gibson can't. He can go, and they said they have 30 million people in their initial release network that may buy it or could. So 3 million, let's say that 10% of people on that go, oh, I'll buy the Mel Gibson movie. And it's exclusive for the first month or whatever. It's exclusive video on demand. He could make a ton of money.
The two movies
he's personally financing it.
The movies that he has actually produced by himself or decided to produce independently.
Yeah,
he's grossed himself about $1 billion.
And supposedly he's a billion. He's stiffed a bunch of the Italian crew.
$1 billion.
Personally.
That is, yes, that is ridiculous. He had to pay his ex-wife like $400 million or something like that. $400 million. I think there was like an extra $100 million for Jew-hating tax, I think is what it was, but yeah.
No, it was those tapes that killed him.
Yeah.
It was the tapes. He called her C-U-N-T and all sorts of things.
Dude, there's like 12 people in the world he didn't insult on those. Between the tapes and him getting pulled
Oh,
over.
True.
I mean, it was just so bizarre. I mean, that is one of the bigger meltdowns.
That was a great meltdown, and it continued, not only from the arrest,
full
but then
meltdown.
The divorce and those tapes.
Yeah, but yet, he is one of the rare cases where, as he's melting down, he's a billionaire now. Almost a billionaire. I mean, a multi-millionaire where it's just from Passion of the Christ alone that he can, you know, he doesn't have to care. The Beaver made, what was it? Supposedly he was great in it. Jodie Foster, obviously a very talented filmmaker. The thing made like $1 million. $1 million. Mel Gibson, you could videotape him taking a crap and it would sell for, you know, it would be in theaters for 3 weeks.
Ricky Gervais's joke at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And he goes, everybody saw Jodie Foster's Beaver. And she went, yeah, okay, good one. You got me. That's good.
Unfortunately, nobody saw it.
I feel like sweaty balls.
Yeah, much like real good life, times. Nobody saw it. That was very, very bizarre. Do you watch? Well, I don't know. It'll be interesting. There's no way I'm seeing it. There's no way I'm paying to see it. But it'll be interesting to see how much money it makes. But man, what a from anything he did being the top box office seller to we don't need the theaters. That's a
bold move. He's probably ahead of the curve on that. And he's probably got enough audience base to pull it off. He's probably really smart on how much it cost. Probably spent like $10 million on the movie.
That's
and sure. if he gets, you know, just 1 million of those 30 million subscribers to pay that money, he's pretty much in the black. So I don't know. We'll see, because it is. I think that everybody's got these high def big screens at home. Everybody in the movie theater's a jerk with their phones and the talking and the kids and the candy going, and I can't hear. And
no,
we
talking,
get our seats,
please.
And it's $400 to see a goddamn movie.
Yeah.
So it could be going home. I just hope they adjust the prices and make it, like, you know, cheaper, because it doesn't cost them physically to make the film anymore and put it in a truck and ship it to a theater and spend gas, and it's on celluloid.
But they balance
and
then that out.
There's staff that has to pick it up and put it on a projector and switch reels and all that shit. So now, and sell popcorn and whatever. And that's why it charges, you know, $1 million for popcorn. Because they just don't make money on the movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, they balance all that shit out with everybody overcharging for everything.
It's home. It's going home, and Mel Gibson's a little ahead of the curve, probably, and going to try it. Let's watch that experiment. We'll let you know how that goes later, folks.
Yeah. Exactly.
Call in your favorite movies, 800-893-9562. Your favorite comedy movies of all time. We've done sitcoms. We're on to comedy movies, and that could include things like... Network, I think, is
Network's
a brilliant comedy.
Network.
It's a comedy. It's a dark comedy.
Even Schindler's List.
I laugh my ass off at Schindler's List.
I will tell you the one. You said Caddyshack. When I was growing up, Caddyshack and Animal House were the two movies that
Animal
could not,
House.
Animal
yeah.
House, Airplane. Those are the two that I'm throwing on.
Now,
here.
Airplane is one of those, I think, that's probably going to top the list. For me, because that's one of those nonstop laughs. You could try Naked Gun and all those. No, Airplane.
Naked Gun is a damn good movie.
And no Airplane 2.
The first Naked Gun. No Airplane 2. I mean, funny, but no Airplane 2.
No. Airplane, the original, that set the whole tone. Yeah. I like Your Death Becomes Her. That's good. I like dark twisted stuff like that.
That's good.
I even am in like Coen Brothers, like Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona is a great one. All right, Raising
comedy
Arizona.
Movies
what about
of all
Big
time.
Lebowski?
Of course, Lebowski. Speaking of Lebowski, Ben Gazzara has passed away. I know. Got on a hot tin roof to Big Lebowski. Ben, great work. We miss you.
Miss you already, you say?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anybody else die this week?
God, there's a plethora, a deathera.
Oh, wait. I got a clip of Ben Gazzara as Charles Bukowski as he explains style.
Style is the answer to everything. A fresh way to approach a dull or dangerous thing. To do a dull thing with style is preferable to doing a dangerous thing without style.
To do a dull thing with style is preferable to doing a dangerous thing with style. So Ben Gazzara, he had a lot of style, and we will miss him. Who else died? Oh, God, Don Cornelius.
Suicide, I believe.
Yeah. Self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Well, self-inflicted. Fox News still blamed Obama, but yes. Yes, it was.
Thank you for that, Gus.
It was self-inflicted, and he will also be missed. He was a complete game changer.
And according to this clip, he was always on a lot of Quaaludes.
Is that true?
Okay, we're back with Miss Mary Wilson.
Mary is fine.
Mary is the supreme with the most seniority.
Thank you. Right? I'm so happy you said it like that, Don. Usually they say something else.
We're going to give you a close-up view of the Soul Train line, the famed Soul Train line.
He was always so mellow.
Holy crap.
We have Jesus here with us.
Wow, that was...
He plays the bass guitar.
Wow, I feel like I'm on something.
I know.
That was insane.
But they tricked us because the opening of Soul Train was animated. So as it rolled from the animated cartoons into Soul Train, the kids kind of stuck around. I totally watched Soul Train. Were you a Soul Train fan?
I've watched a bunch of clips of Soul Train. I didn't used to tune
Soul
into
Soul Train.
I didn't tune into it. I used to, I had seen every celebrity I would want to see, I had seen clips of, but I had not, I did not watch it regularly. But nothing but love for the show. But now that was on for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got American Idol, and then they 35 attempts to mimic that. Do you watch the X Factor nonsense?
Isn't that the exact same show as the American Idol?
Not only was it the exact same show, it was almost the exact same show with almost the exact same judges. Remember, they had Paula, but now he fired Paula. Ugh. Like, they got rid of the host, Paula, and Nicole. Apparently,
he just used Paula for the first few, bring over her audience, and then cut her loose.
Apparently, his favorite part about working with Paula was firing her, yes. So he did it again. What Survivor should do, in my mind, and I'm not a reality show guy, but Survivor, I think, should have a reality show of just reality show judges. That's what they should have. They should have a reality show judges episode of just, you know. I mean,
Isaac Mizrahi versus
Steven
Tyler.
Whoever the guy that co-hosted the first season of Idol with Seacrest. You know what I'm talking about?
Brian Dukeman?
Something like
Dumbleman?
That. Yeah, sure.
I forget his name.
Sure.
Everybody does.
That guy. The Pete Best of American Idol? Yes, that guy. I mean, that's tough. They should have all those. There's like 40 people. Ellen DeGeneres can get a swing in there. She was a judge. Who else was a judge?
She was. That's right.
Yeah, they had everybody in there for a little while. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know, they're still episode 7, I think, and they're still doing the open auditions. I think they're done. They picked. They're like 42 or 46 or whoever they're taking to Hollywood. So the best part of American Idol for me is concluded. All of the really horrible warbles. We're going to see a couple of like shit your pant meltdowns in front of the live crowd when they get out there, and you know they're not performing for just like two or three judges, or they're gonna.
Oh, they'll make sure you see it. That's what drives me nuts. Is I was, you know, we're doing some research for the show on things we should talk about or things that have happened this week, and this kind of shit drives me nuts. You'll see like J-Lo cries. See it. You're like, how the fuck is that news? Why is that news? Why does that come up under news? J-Lo cries at a performance? See Snooki without makeup. Click here. You're like, no, get away. Why is that news?
I want to see Snooki without makeup.
I understand.
Is she pregnant or not? I don't know.
Do you care? I wouldn't know if she was pregnant or not. Honestly, I have no idea. I'm not fully sure what a Snooki is, but I don't understand why that shit is news. And so much of it, I think, ties into a lot of the same companies owning, you know, stations that do news, and then they push their own entertainment stuff as well. It's this whole cross-marketing thing, but it drives me nuts. Reality show events are constantly listed high up in news stories. I don't understand that.
It's either. Self-cross-pollination. That's their own studios. I'll see them say, exactly. Oh, and an ABC News Corp show, or they'll be like, you know, this
total
great Disney
cross
show. It's their own shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you also see it be fair, like the Kardashians when they did their blitz for whatever latest show or whatever. They were on everything. I mean, and like literally walked off one set into another set.
They're also like gremlins. If you get them wet, they multiply. There's like 75 Kardashians right now, by the way. It's a little freaky. You got to be careful.
Late.
Was it? Can you not get them wet? I don't remember.
Don't feed them. Don't get them wet. Don't feed them after midnight.
Yeah,
don't ever get them wet.
Don't ever get them wet. One of them makes them multiply. One of them makes them
get them away from direct sunlight.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it'll kind of, it'll melt them.
What's the melt noise? That is very nice. Were you a Home Improvement fan?
Totally.
You were you?
I was a Wilson fan.
Home Improvement almost made our list of sitcoms, was it not? At least it was on the...
So close.
It was on the primary. It was
so
on the,
close.
You were a Wilson
But Tim
fan.
Allen's a rat. So he got...
Really?
Yeah, he got his sentence shortened. He was found with like 30 grams of coke in an airport, and he only did 2 to 4 years because he rolled.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
He's a rat.
Well...
Stitches get stitches.
Well, either that or they get multiple millions of dollars and a sitcom.
And a sitcom.
Yeah, exactly.
But I liked Wilson. The great device, never saw his face. He was always behind the fence.
It is a great device.
Great advice.
But he's got to be, as an actor, would that not be annoying as shit?
He will never get burnt out on that. He can go to another show.
Yeah,
his voice sounds funny. He's Wilson.
Yes, but I understand what you're saying.
Pays the same. Do you care? Do you come on?
Difference.
He can come in banged, hungover, and fucking still do his shit.
Difference between happy to have the job and the paycheck, and Jesus Christ, we've been on for 12 years and nobody knows what I look like. Is that no? That wouldn't annoy you. Would that not annoy you?
The fence. Yeah. Well,
if they said, "Hey, I want you to be on this sitcom,"
no, because
I want you to
known.
Be in this sitcom.
I mean,
I want you to be in this sitcom, but you have to wear a paper bag every episode. Every episode.
Do you remember the unknown comic from the Gong Show?
I do, but you know what? If the unknown comic said, hey, excuse me, do you mind if I step in front of you in line? I'm the unknown comic. I'm going to be like, fuck you. No. No, you can't. I have no idea who you are. You are unknown to me.
All right. I guess having your face actually on TV is a big deal.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I would be happy with the paycheck, but I'm just saying, assuming that's not out of the equation.
You, we should take a break. Literally a 2-minute break.
No,
I mildly, but let's take just a 2-minute break. When we come back, we've got some more juice, and we'll be continuing our top list. Number to call is 800-893-9562. That's toll free, 800-893-9562. We'll be right back. Thank you, Jeff Fiorentino of Rock. JF Rocks. That was the Munsters theme completely squirrelized. I like that.
That was nice. That was nice. That was as hardcore Munsters as you're going to get right there, my
man. I know. That is pretty Munsterish.
Munster. So we left off talking about Home Improvement. Now, you said you were a fan.
So speaking of Tim Allen and his drug bust of cocaine.
Exactly.
Not only did Tim Allen, he apparently was a bad father because the youngest child.
Oh, bad sitcom father.
Totally fake father. Taryn Noah Smith.
Is that his name? That's the youngest child from Home Improvement.
Mm-hmm. He played Mark Taylor on the 90s sitcom Home Improvement for 8 years.
What happened to
him? That's a home in like fucking Calabasas, right?
What happened to Mark Taylor? Yeah,
he was arrested about 1 a.m. in L.A. County. TMZ reported the police said he was driving under the influence of marijuana.
Okay, that so far doesn't put him.
Put
him any different than anybody else in his town.
At a diagonal in front of a fire hydrant. Pulled up and like, oh, what's this?
When you're doing illegal shit,
fucking park illegal sideways, right?
Yeah. Why would you do that? Why would you draw attention to yourself when you're? Hey, you know what? I'm thinking
because you're high, and not only that, they found hash.
Which is a felony. Is that not a felony?
Yeah, it's a felony arrest.
That is why I always hide my hash inside the dead hooker in my trunk.
Well, better yet,
in your trunk. That is even better yet.
What's that smell?
Yeah.
That's not the hash. Don't worry.
Oh, it wouldn't be in the dead hooker. Don't look in there. No, that's...
Are you saying to people they should... Like, if you're fucked up, just try not to park in front of a fire hydrant, all diagonal and shit.
I am not condoning driving drunk or driving under the influence of anything. But what I am saying, similar to the morons who commit crimes and film it and then are shocked that they're somehow on a Fox TV show at some point in time, why in the world would you go, you know what? Okay, I am or was a celebrity. I'm a little high right now. I have some illegal substance in the car. Perhaps I will just park it legally in front of this hydrant for a couple of minutes.
That's not a wise move.
No.
No. And don't pick up teenagers and go drunk driving. Remember the jailbreak guy?
No, who's the jailbreak guy?
One of the stars of Jailbreak.
No, what happened to him?
He picked up like 17-year-olds and were taken to some party and had a wreck and killed one of them. And was under the influence and did like jail time, but he can escape. We have a call, Pat from Maryland. Maryland, George Washington's wife. Hi, Pat. How are you?
What's up, Keith?
Very good. How you doing?
How are you,
hey,
Pat?
Hey, man. I'm listening to your all show and about drinking and driving and all this. Just last week, we had four teenagers at the age of 18 drive the wrong way on a major interstate and hit head-on with another car, who that guy happened to be drunk, and all five people were killed.
Oh, is this Pat Abel from Maryland?
Yes, sir. What's up, brother?
Pat, good to hear from you. Oh, my God. This is a friend. I have to openly admit to all radio audiences, I know this guy.
That officially makes you the most honest individual in this town, by the way. Hey, Pat, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. I'm doing really good. But, Keith, I also called to give you some hot news, man.
Ooh, yeah, shoot it up.
The best thing to come out of Australia right now is a band called Closure to Moscow.
Wait, Closure to Moscow?
Closure to Moscow. Yeah, they're coming to South by Southwest in March. If you happen to be in town, go check them out. They're them and a band called Dead Letter Circus. They're phenomenal.
What Dead Letter Circus? What was with the carnival stuff you were showing me?
Carnival is just off the hook right now. They're in the studio actually recording in Perth. And the lead singer of that band is also in another project called Birds of Tokyo. And see, it's just untapped talent in Australia that nobody's even looking at, man. They're all looking for the one-hit wonders, you know?
See, I found Pat, we were shooting Life 101 with Corey Haim and Amy Dolenz and Louis Mandelor out in Maryland, in Bowie, Maryland.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Pat served us up good, and I totally made friends with Pat and hung out the whole time to get the feel for the, you know, town. And Pat hooked me up, man. He's like, dude, I can get you like cartons of smokes from the PBX at like fucking the base for like $8, man. It was awesome. And so Pat and I, you know, became friends and we kept in touch over the years. And
it was a good local hookup.
Yeah, he's got some good Corey Haim stories, to be honest. I'm probably sure he might have some good Corey Haim stories.
We had the first night he came in to the hotel, he was feeling good. And then the phone rang at the front desk. I'm like, and they give him the phone to him, and he's like, hello. He's like, hey, bro, what's up? He's talking. He's here, hold this. And it was Corey Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And he was just like, really? I'm really seeing this?
He's like, yeah, I'm here. Maryland, what's up?
Before I saw him in the actual hotel, I was bartending, and I was looking up at the TV screen, and they were showing the trailer for Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I'm like laughing, looking at this trailer, and the part was, the dishes are done, dude, and he shoots the gun, and I look up, and Keith is standing right in front of me.
Dude, he does that shit all the time.
I am famous for that shit.
All the time. The clip's on, and boom, Keith is over your left shoulder looking right at you.
I am Randall Flagg. I am everywhere.
I'm like, this is really surreal, man.
Dude, what did we drink there? Corey's drink was rum and cokes, right?
Bottomless rum and cokes.
Fuck. Like in the highball glass.
Yeah, exactly. With a lime.
Oh, with a lime.
That way you
he's
feel like
some vegetables.
Exactly. That way you feel like you're eating too. That's nice.
I was all worried about Corey, and I was like, oh man, he's like you know, he's got some medications he's taking. And he was very open with me. He was like, Keith, I just took 20 Vicodin. Is that wrong?
Like, is that wrong?
He's like, I'm like, it's 130 in Maryland and you're not sweating. You might have like spleen damage. I don't know. But I was the one that wound up in the hospital. But thanks for helping me out, Pat. I totally tripped out on the heat. It was people were dying. It was a heat wave. And OJ was killing people, allegedly, back in the West.
That was the exact same day. The exact same day that the chase was on, Keith shows up at the bar, ordered a beer. And I'm watching this commercial. I'm like, OJ's on. Look at this. And you're like, really?
That was amazing.
It was just surreal.
You guys just would. I would assume the bar had to just be packed with people sitting there staring at the TV for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, we were in Bowie. This is like, you know, it's nothing major. There wasn't like a big, huge city. It's just, it's a little town. And, that was the new hotel in the area. And
that's
just happened to be staying there.
That's a whole lot of celebrity for a small little town right there, huh? That's nice.
Do you remember Amy Dolenz? Was she good to you?
Who?
Amy Dolenz.
Yeah, man. She was a sweetheart. She was really nice, you know. She was really down to earth and not pretentious. And
had a huge
it was good, man. It was an eye-opening experience to see the movie industry and see how it works and see how people are taken care of and what goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, it's not all this glamour, man. There's a lot of work that goes involved, and people don't understand that.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. No doubt that is true. Not a lot of people get to see it, though.
No, they don't. And the fortunate that the people that do, it's awesome. It's, you know, it's an experience.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. And
listen, I love your all show. Yeah, I think it's so enlightening.
That was the one thing we shared, me and Pat, was our love for some pretty heavy fucking music.
Nice.
And I don't know, what was the first band you mentioned that you wanted
Closure,
people to...
Closure in Moscow.
Closure
in Moscow.
Okay.
But I'll never forget, dude, it was like 9 in the morning, and I'm like hungover. And Keith, I showed him how to get to my house once, and it was like 4 miles away from the hotel. And mind you, we're in the middle of like August. It's hot as balls. I mean, it's ugly hot. I got a big pool in my backyard. Keith shows up at my door with a wife beater and a guitar. I'm like, dude, where'd you get a guitar? How'd you get to my house?
Like, dude, the mall's over there. I walked over. It was the hottest balls. I was told I couldn't sleep. I'd read Sin City the night before. Louis Mandelor had given me Sin City. And so I was like, I'd read that. And I couldn't say it was hot as fucking balls. And you couldn't get anything to eat. There was nothing around. Like at 11 o'clock, the town just fucking closed down. So next morning, I'm like, no sleep. I'm walking around. I'm like, I bought a guitar. That was great.
Nice.
Really sober.
What surprised me is how you made it to the mall from where we were.
I know. And I'm looking around for rides. Nobody's up. It was like our day off. I walked there in fucking the heat. And I think that's why I wound up in the hospital the next day.
Yeah, and you crossed that major highway, cut through some dude's backyard, and ended up in my house.
Well, you showed me the shortcut back through from the house back to the hotel, which was like we romped through the woods, which was great. But thanks for calling, Pat. So I'm going to play a little Closure in Moscow.
Play Impeccable Beast.
Impeccable Beast? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Impeccable Beast. I just want people to kind of understand the kind of things that we would listen to. Listen to this for a second.
All right, man, I'm going to check out the show, but thanks, you guys have a good one, man.
Pat, thanks for calling,
thanks
Pat.
For so much for calling in. Really good to hear from you. Oh, yeah. This is the kind of stuff we would listen to. We were, thanks for calling in, Pat. That's great. So we would listen to, like, really heavy stuff and, like, super heavy, like, heavy metal. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good times. Oh, my God, I can't believe Pat called in. That's a good old friend.
It's good to have a local in when you're on location like that.
Oh, obviously. Really good. You get hooked up, man. You get hooked up. Go here, don't eat there, that kind of stuff.
That would be ridiculously nice to have.
I'm missing Corey Haim, I have to tell you. That was a really good movie for him. It was like Lucas Goes to College.
You can probably get a double dose of Corey Feldman right now if you want it. You can balance that out.
I'm going to taser Corey and bring him in here one night. That would be really fun.
You may just tell him you have beer or drugs. You may do it.
Vegan.
Is he clean?
Yeah.
Clean?
Totally.
You come with vegan is what you came with?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, you come with clean and vegan?
Yeah. You're either like clean and vegan, like River Phoenix, and then you turn into like, you know, you hit... problems.
Yeah.
Or you
go the other way.
Have been like partying and like then you clean your stuff up and you know you go pretty clean. You like go way the other way. At least he's not like really Christian or anything.
No, good for him. Clean himself up. That's great. That's fantastic. Not easy to do, as we certainly see in this town. You have you seen the
Cheers?
Exactly. Have you seen the trailer for that Sarah Palin movie that
Let's
just came
hear
out?
A clip.
Oh, nice.
We live in the age of YouTube and the 24-hour news cycle. How else do you think a man who has no major life accomplishments is beating an American hero? We need to create a dynamic moment.
Ed Harris as McCain.
If you are going to seriously consider the governor of Alaska...
And the part she was made for, Julianne Moore as Sarah Palin.
This is Sarah.
American woman!
I wonder who's going to be more pissed at this, Palin or McCain?
Between a hockey mom and a pit bull, lipstick.
It shows they pressured him into picking her. They're like, you got to call her right now or you'll lose her.
With Obama. You can do this thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wonder who. Sure I wonder who's going to be more pissed.
You can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
Oh my God, what have we done?
Was it my fault?
She is a spitting image.
Yeah,
I mean,
she looks great.
Spitting fucking image.
Looks great.
And nails her. She says she studied video and nailed her mannerisms and like tried to figure out what made her tick. And it's really based. I mean, she's like panicky and scrying in certain scenes.
I really do wonder who is going to dislike this more. Who is going to make look worse, Palin or McCain?
No, they in the scene where they say they pressure McCain, they go, listen, you have to something about some time limit. She might move into this or her governorship or something, and they're like, you need to get her on board right now. And they just didn't vet her. I mean, it's not his fault.
She's the 37th dumbest.
She ran with. She didn't care.
37th dumbest person I've ever heard speak in my life.
Who's the 36th?
You don't know.
Me?
You don't know.
Okay.
But she, shocking. Shocking that anyone took her seriously at any point in time, that anybody thought she was going to run at any point in time during this election when you knew she wasn't because she was under, she was getting a paycheck from Fox News. You knew she wasn't running. But she knew how to get as much attention as possible. What drives me nuts is that people don't see that. Journalists, I understand people in Iowa going, oh, hey, whoa, Sarah's speaking. But when you have journalists going, oh, well, she might run. You're like, no, she's getting a paycheck from Fox. They asked her specifically. She has to stop getting a paycheck if she's going to run. That's what the other candidates did, because unfortunately, most of the Republican candidates at some point are getting paid by Fox. But she said, I'm not running. I'm going to keep getting this paycheck just like Huckabee. And yet she went, but if I get a bus and just show up at places, maybe people will still think I'm going to run.
Is there a deadline? Could she come in now?
No. Well, maybe if she
I think she would. I'm making a prediction now. I think Sarah Palin's going to come in and blow out all this Newt Gingrich shit, this Mitt Romney bullshit.
There's no chance. Zero chance. And I will tell you why. Although, let me tell you something. That would be more fun. I hope you're right, but here's why she was never going to run.
Call Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Get her back in here and bitch fight.
The reason she was never a main reason she was never going to run is she wasn't going to win. She can make more money and be taken even closer to taken seriously as long as she doesn't run herself and lose and get embarrassed.
I disagree. I think her idea was bigger. Her whole meme. Her whole thing, the Sarah Palin thing, is bigger than all the other Republican candidates right now. If she came in right now, she would absolutely sweep everything.
No, she has no chance. She has zero chance. And it's the same reason why
everyone has short memories.
No, they don't. Not when you can click on something, not when it gets shown 24 hours a day on news stations. You don't have time to have a short. You have a short memory, but they're going to play it over and over and over again. Over and over. They still talk about Newt's first two wives. Of course they're going to kill. What, are you kidding me? You just played a clip for me with her talking about seeing Russia from her house. Like, of course, it's short memories.
Had you
have
heard
a short
that
memory.
Before she said that? Had you heard that?
The clip
Did
from
you
the movie?
Know that we could see Russia from
I
parts
heard,
of Alaska and the Aleutian Islands?
I've heard her say that no less than 75 times.
Did you know that before she said that?
Oh, that
was
shit.
That in your no, concept? You'd never known that concept? You've never heard of that? Because I'd heard of that.
I've never given any thought as to what I can see from any given part of Alaska.
I mean, we busted ass on Alaska because of the Ruskies.
Well, I know that they're close.
That's why we bought it.
I know they're close, but at no point in time was the question even relevant to anything of what can you see from any given point in Alaska.
Why did we skip Canada? Why didn't we just fucking roll them too while we were taking Alaska?
The hockey? Hockey? We didn't want to ruin the hockey. We did not want to ruin
Robosuck.
I like him. Hey, he's a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. Did you, I'll tell you what, though, by the way. I will see that movie, more than likely. It's on HBO.
It looks great. I totally have to see it. Game Changer?
Game Changer, I think it is.
Game Changer.
I don't know when it's coming out, but they just released that trailer, which is fantastic. Did you see the Gwyneth Paltrow article? Did you see that thing? Where she was giving parental advice?
Yeah, and how many movies has she come out with lately?
I don't know. Why? How many has she?
She's ran and she's taking care of the kids right now.
Yeah.
She's, you know, turned a little mom and sees her hubby off to work.
And I don't mind the theory. The thing that I don't understand is, like, when do people get to a point where they go, all right, well, let me tell you how it should be done. Gwyneth Paltrow claims, I believe it, she said, women who want children should be stay-at-home mothers. Says the parental advice from the mother of Apple and Moses, by the way, for those of you scoring at home. I assume she wants you to be home to protect the kids who are going to get beaten up because their names are Apple and Moses.
Who's going to have a bigger problem? Do you think Apple or Moses will get picked on more?
I think Apple, because Apple's the first. That's my guess. I think by the time people get used to Apple, Moses is just kind of strolling around.
I predict Apple in the it's strolling around.
That's like Moses is strolling around at that point in time. You give him a staff,
leading them out onto the playground.
Give that guy a staff, and that guy is leading the league in coolness on the playground. Are you kidding me? Moses separates the. Oh my God! The sandbox just split into two. Moses dominates that playground. Are you kidding me?
Apple, they'd make more fun second, third grade. Apple, ha 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 ha.
See, I have a problem.
Your food.
Why is it just celebrities with the ridiculous names? Or let me phrase that. Is
pretty
it more,
ridiculous. Zuma?
Celebrities Dweezil, have a habit. They have.
Ahmet.
Some of them are earthy. Like, you get some hippie parents, and I understand.
Free.
That. You get hippie parents, and I understand that. But when you get celebrity parents who tend to name their kids as pets, I don't understand that. It's like, Apple might be a fun thing.
Astro.
Exactly. Apple might be a fun name for an adult, but you know what your kid has to go through first? Childhood. And your kid's going to get his ass beat for a little bit. Tough. It's, you know, tough to tell everybody else, hey, well, I guess if they go to a school with other people named Apple, maybe they're fine, and that might be the case. But that is parental advice 101 from Gwyneth Paltrow. You need to stay at home. Here, let me give you a quote from her, by the way. I have little kids in school. I want to maintain my marriage and my family, so I have to be here when he comes home. Talking about her husband. Their home being a $6 million home, which I would also like to be in London, which is nice. I would certainly make dinner for Chris Martin if I get to hang out in a $6 million home. But I need my own bedroom. So I hope he's good with that.
When I was growing up, an exotic name was like Zoe. That was exotic.
Yeah, now that's a sitcom.
Well, it was like your summers, your Septembers. Simon was kind of weird. I don't know.
Simon?
I was like, dude, you're called Simon. And he had a Simon. He had one. Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, that's all. That's exactly what I think of when I hear Simon.
Is it?
Yeah, that's still what I think of. Cowell can kiss my ass. I still think of Simon, the video game. All right, so I'm going to say this before this show ends for sure. So I go over to Keith's house. And, you know, Keith and I get together once during the week, and we talk about some stuff that we may talk about during the show. And
Gus does all the work and writes it down and prepares our kind of like talking points, if you will. Not the word like right wing or anything, but we do have talking points.
There are points. We usually hit maybe a third of them, but they're there. They're there for us in case, you know, we get confused. But Keith put on, usually there's some sort of reality show on that I can make fun of.
Yeah.
Which is fun because you'll have the tiaras or the whatever, the kids dancing.
Dance and, mom.
Oh, my God.
I played
so
you
hard.
That. You retched in the corner.
Oh, my God, sir. Seriously, but here is the thing. He put Glee on for the and I love me some Michael Jackson. It was a Michael Jackson episode of Glee, and he put Glee on, and I thought it was somewhat of a joke. And I understand Glee is a very popular show, but I did not expect Keith to have it on. So
I don't see Glee on the notes. You're just bringing this up out of spite, aren't you?
No. Why don't you look three down from the bottom, my man?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, okay. Oh,
wouldn't turn off Glee.
No, son of a bitch would not turn off
why
Glee.
Why would you turn it off?
Well, because it was on. Show. That's why you should turn
it
off.
Have you never watched a single episode of Glee?
Did you not see me start to ram my head into the table, hoping I would eventually become unconscious? Did you not notice that? When I realized the show wasn't going off, I was hoping for some sort of head wound.
Yeah, but you
know when I like Michael Jackson?
They were like going out in the halls and singing outside of like the Glee environment.
Oh.
Like singing at home and stuff. And you said it was like Fame. So you watched Fame. What's wrong with Glee?
I was 12 when Fame was on.
All right, point taken.
Thank you. Because here's the thing is, I love Michael Jackson songs, but while listening to a Michael Jackson song, you know what you've never heard me say? This song would be great if sung by an actor. That's never been, I've never said that while listening to a Michael Jackson song.
Totally sure from watching the acting on the show that they're hired for their singing.
fair enough. Fair enough. All right, you know what though? I have a couple more comedies I want to throw onto the list.
Yes.
Okay, wait. So right now,
top comedy film.
Right now, we have Caddyshack, we have Airplane, we have Animal House, Ghostbusters, and because you mentioned them, we have History of the World and Blazing Saddles.
Okay.
A lot of people are big fans of, what was it, Young Frankenstein as well. Also a big...
me too.
A big Mel Brooks favorite. If anybody, by the way, has a Mel Brooks favorite or another movie to throw on the top comedy of all time, call in 1-800-893-9562. Let us know what else we're putting on the list. How about this? Were you a Monty Python fan?
Yeah.
Holy Grail. Search for the Holy Grail.
That was... I was coming... It was about 11, 12... It was very popular. People were quoting it. I knew the quote before I saw the film. And I saw the film and I was like, meh. As I've grown older, I've absolutely appreciated it. And I actually think Life of Brian is probably one of the greatest comedies ever made. I would put Life of Brian up there.
I'm going to write down Life of Brian for you.
It's got Spike Jones. It's got just great, you know. And they said, we can't do the story of Jesus. We'll get... Okay, crucified.
Jesus. Oh, okay. I was going to say, Jesus going to sue? Yeah. Is that what's going to happen?
No, they do, you know, it's another guy.
Is that not a great way to genius. Bring? Is that not a great way to bring Jesus back? Is to do his life story and then let him come back and be like, no, you don't have the rights to that. You don't have the rights to that at all.
Autobiography. Jesus. That's all. That's all you need to sell right there. Jesus. An autobiography.
Jesus in his biggest role yet as Jesus.
He's come back and he's writing.
Now, where would you... Now, see, here's the thing is I respect the hell out of Life of Brian and out of Search for the Holy Grail, but all the Monty Python stuff. Yeah. Didn't watch the show really that much. Didn't see all the movies. Saw, you know, most of the movies, saw Search for the Holy Grail. Where would you put, even though technically it's not a Monty Python movie, A Fish Called Wanda?
Oh, way high on the list.
Oh, love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Oscars to Kevin Kline.
Did he win? Did he win? Or
yeah, he won. No, he won. I held his fucking Oscar.
Really?
That was the year I was on the Oscars.
That's really awesome. Cool. Yeah,
Around young Hollywood, and
that was great. Yeah, that's great.
How'd
you get your hands on his?
Because Phoebe Cates had auditioned for Adventure Babysitting, but didn't get it.
She's so hot.
Done the Sizzler lunch.
She was so hot back in the day.
So I was like, Phoebe, hi, and like she's married to Kevin Kline. He just won an Oscar, so I held all 8 pounds of it or whatever. It was beautiful.
Is she still as hot as she was then?
Yeah.
Oh, she was so hot. Don't tell. I know she's married, so don't tell her I said so. But man, good Lord, was she hot. What movie? Fast Times. Fast Times. Is that a comedy? Oh,
Fast Times is the biggest. Yes, put Fast Times.
Fast Times.
Fast Times is
Fast
huge.
Times has got to be. Yes. How do I ask if that's a comedy? Fast Times, definitely. Spicoli. One of the.
We have a call.
Nice.
We have a call coming in. We have Janet. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Hi, Janet.
How's it going?
It's going well.
It's good. What's your top comedy movie of all time?
Well, I was trying to think of one, and I couldn't really think of one for some reason, so I started looking on the internet, and I ended up on IMDb, and the top-rated comedy titles are on there, and number 18 is The Kid.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The Kid.
Isn't that trippy?
Wow. Number 18 comedy of all time? Of all time? That's crazy.
Yeah, like, it goes by votes, and the kid is number 18, and it has 21,732 votes.
That is interesting.
Really cool.
And number one is Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
As a comedy?
Really?
As a comedy.
Comedy titles.
I wouldn't think of comedy
as... What does that mean, comedy titles?
That's comedy.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. that is interesting. So
thanks for finding the kid on there.
That's great.
I thought that was kind of cool.
It said a comedy with it. It was a film with a tear, perhaps a laugh, and perhaps a tear is how they.
Would you have thought to even put the kid on?
No,
the list of
comedies? Chaplin had tried something different and combined comedy and drama in one movie, and they were like, "It won't work. Nobody's going to take it. You make one or the other."
Yeah, good call.
Instead of a two reel film, he made a six reel film, and it was his longest experiment, and. Yeah, it's funny. There's great stuff between Jack and Chaplin. That's cool. Thanks for finding that, Janet.
That's great.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. You know, I imagine, like, on IMDb, it might be, like, hardcore movie people voting on this. Because some of these titles are bizarre.
Like what?
Well, The Artist is number 12. And okay. Life is Beautiful is number 7. Toy Story 3... I mean, there's kind
Toy
of weird...
Story 3.
I want to laugh. I want to put on Toy Story 3.
Interesting.
So it's kind of trippy. It's a trippy list.
That's rare, where you're looking down a list of all-time anything and be like, hey, give me the third one of the installments. That's
okay, I'm going to put one five. On, and everyone's going to have to try to bump it off, but Summer School.
You know what? Here's the thing is that will get bumped off, but that was such a fun movie in its day. I will certainly write
Thank
that
you.
Down.
Thank
what
you.
What about Breakfast Club?
Breakfast Club was a great Good. Movie.
Would you say 16 Candles is more of a comedy than Breakfast? Breakfast Club kind of had like the drama and the elephant lamp that didn't work and...
16 Candles was big. Was 16 Candles was a lot of fun. That
Weird
was
Science actually is pretty funnier than both of them.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice was good. Beetlejuice I would definitely put on a list. He was so funny back in the day. When was the last time he's run a comedy himself? Michael Keaton was funny.
I've seen The Exorcist 117 times, and it keeps getting funnier every time I see it.
he was so good in Night Shift. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. What if you take the tuna and you feed the mayonnaise? That's way in the package. They already got the mayonnaise with the tuna.
Do I need to put my muscles in? I'll go put my muscles in. Dude, he was
what about
so
Michael
good.
Keaton in Pacific Heights? Do you guys ever see
well,
that?
Not a comedy, but yes, he's terrifying. I was thinking Mr. Mom. Michael Keaton in Mr. Mom, and that's one of the top comedies. I think Mr. Mom's hysterical.
Mr. Mom is a good one.
Pacific Heights was a little... Well, it's funny kind of laugh at the cruel torture that Matthew Modine and Melanie Griffith go through.
Well, that's
and there was a reverse age-appropriate couple. She was like maybe a little few years older than Matthew McConaughey. Matthew who? Modine?
Yeah. Modine.
And I loved how undefined the evil of Michael Keaton. He just wanted to torture them.
I've never actually seen that movie.
Oh, it's terrifying. Well, I have a theory.
Doesn't sound like it's high up on the comedy list.
No, it's not. It's not a comedy at all. It's terribly, terribly
but
scary.
But it does show you Michael Keaton's
It
range.
Does prove that land ownership or property ownership causes insanity. All landlords are insane. And especially out here in the West, in California, in Los Angeles, the Indians curse the land. So if you own land and you make money off of it, as a business owner, not as a business, but as a property owner with multiple units and people are paying you rent, you're clinically insane.
Hey.
Except our current landlord, which is really cool because we never see him.
Exactly.
I just have a suggestion for next week's list. How about the most bottom rated comedies or the worst comedies of all time?
Well, that fits on the top comedies. because I love myself some, like, even Plan 9 from Outer Space, I laugh my ass off. I think it's hysterical.
Yeah, but that, I think that...
And I like movies like From the Hip.
That lends some credence. No, From the Hip was fun.
That's not funny.
But that, that comment is funny.
Yes,
that comment was very funny.
Like, would you call Who Framed Roger Rabbit a comedy?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
What, are you going to call that a drama cartoon? Is that what you're going to call that? It's a cartoon drama? Is that with the bunny? Is that what you're coming with?
One of my top comedies ever is Borat.
Yeah, okay, I'll give
that's
it that. I'll
laugh your ass off. You will. That
you know what? I'm writing Borat down.
Borat is huge.
I'm writing that down, but whatever that Planet Nine or whatever the hell you were talking about, that I'm not writing that shit down. That's on your...
No. Janet, thank you so much for calling
with
that.
Thank you, Janet.
We have another caller in New York. Thanks, Janet. We'll talk to you later.
Good night.
Thanks, good night. Yeah, Andrew in New York. Andrew, what do you got?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Andrew, awesome. How are you?
First off, I have to say, let's go Giants.
Oh, that's nice to hear. We're going to hear Keith say that soon. That's nice to hear.
Let's go Giants.
Attaboy.
Come on, you guys have to be talking about the Giants a little bit, right?
Oh, my. Well, I am, but it kind of goes right through them. Right through them.
So I will totally be rooting for them for you, Gus.
He couldn't give a shit about the game. If they were playing it on this table right now.
I don't have a team in L.A. What do you want to fucking do?
I understand.
I like the Lakers. I like the Kings.
I understand.
Fuck football.
I understand.
Oh, no, you can't say that now.
No. I'll totally be rooting for the Giants, but betting on the Patriots.
Well, I don't want to hear that.
You know what? I'm actually okay with him betting on. Have you ever seen him bet?
I say Patriots by 11.
Have you ever seen him bet? I'm okay with him betting on the Patriots.
You taught me how to bet on craps.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Online free, pretty good.
Oh yeah, no, online free. I do well also. I do very well online free.
Online free, good. I got a little app for that. I do well.
You can't lose, Keith. You can't lose.
Andrew, you have a suggestion for comedies. Comedy movies, favorite comedy of all time.
Well, I don't know favorite comedy of all time, but I heard you guys were talking a little Michael Keaton stuff. And what about Johnny Dangerously? I love that movie.
That is an ice hole.
Oh, you know what? That is an underrated movie.
That's funny.
That is a good call. I'm writing that down. They can make me take that off later. I like that. I like that a lot.
I mean, I don't know if they'll make top 10, but I know with Michael Keaton, I thought that was such a funny, funny movie. I mean, I truthfully don't know if that could make a top 10 overall, but I just needed mention.
No, I think that deserves a mention. That's a good call. There's probably very little chance that makes the final top 10, but I will tell you this.
Night Shift is also very equally funny, but I don't think that Night Shift will make it.
Night Shift was a funny movie, too. Yeah.
That also was a great movie, and I still don't understand why Shelley Long is ever the hot chick. I never understood that, but still, Johnny Dangerously... Unbelievably underrated film.
Do you, Andrew, think that Bridesmaids or The Hangover, do you think that those rival like Animal House or Fast Times?
It's funny. I was out tonight and we were talking about the recent movies, and we were talking more even like a Superbad versus like an Animal House also, and comparing the two, and they're very different. You know what I mean? It's hard to compare a Bridesmaid versus Animal House. But, I mean, Animal House is classic. Like, I don't think a Bridesmaid beats that.
No, that's tough. That would be tough to beat. I mean, Animal House is usually mentioned in the top 10 comedies of all time.
But it's different humor. You know what I mean? You can get away with a lot more in the movies now than you could then.
That is true. And there's also some comedies that tend to play more towards the male audience. I don't know, as fun as Animal House is, as fun as Caddyshack is, I don't know if that plays to the female audience as much as it does to the male audience. I've rarely heard females quote either one of those movies the way I've heard males quote them. So I do wonder whether some of the more modern comedies would actually play better in a more updated audience, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you in the fact that I think more the female audience has seen the Superbads, has seen the Forgetting Sarah Marshalls, have seen all those movies now that are out that are really, really funny, and, I mean, it's just different.
Now, what about the Bridesmaids, what would be one of your favorite, like, between Bridesmaids and Hangover and 40-Year-Old Virgin? And Anchorman.
Kingpin.
Kingpin is a good one. I'm writing.
There's something about Mary. Kingpin, and there's something about Mary.
Oh, that's.
Did you laugh your ass off? Oh.
I have to say, I'm a big Road Trip fan, too.
I've never seen Road Trip. Dumb and Dumber.
Here's the thing is, because I'm pretty certain you're the same dude that called in twice now, I'm going to write Road Trip because you're now officially our regular call-in guest, apparently. However,
by the way, this is only my second call. So
that officially that puts you right at the top of the list, my man.
I will call every week if I can, but this is my second call, and I will say Road Trip was a great movie.
I will say this. Strange. If you call every week, no matter what the list is, you can put Road Trip on that list.
Strange trivia, Anthony Rapp, who was in Road Trip, was in Adventures of Babysitting and had the line, Road Trip?
Really?
Yes.
Who did he play in Road Trip?
Yeah, he was in Road Trip. I think it was a cameo. Yeah,
I'll tell you guys a funny story. I thought Road Trip was one of the best movies. Well, maybe not the best movie, but like top 10 movie for me. And at my wedding, my father-in-law made a whole speech and talked about how they made fun of me the minute they met me, how that was one of my favorite movies, and he presents me a DVD of Road Trip in front of everyone at my wedding.
That is nice. That is nice. Although
so you like the Road Trip.
Well, now
there,
let me ask
you.
Do you think that helps solidify it on a top 10 list when the wedding makes fun of you for that being one of your top movies? I put it down. Once again, I put it down because you're currently leading our league in calls.
Thank you. But
at this point, Hangover, Bridesmaid, and he said Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I'll even put that on there.
No, that was. I really think that's an underrated movie.
That's funny.
You watch that.
I also like the. What was the one? The comeback kid. The break. That was the one with the Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller?
The Heartbreak Kid. That's a funny fucking movie.
That was a funny movie, too.
I never saw that movie.
Yeah, that was good. Keith, I agree with you. That was a good movie.
Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah.
How old is that? When did that come out?
Like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Was I here? Where was I?
Oh, that's more than that, is it? That was with him.
Yeah, maybe it's older.
He's like, wait, three, 4 years ago. Wait a second, 1987.
You got Horatio Sands. So whenever Horatio Sands was peaking on Saturday Night Live, you're good to go.
I don't know when it was, but I think Nixon was in office. that was nice.
Nixon was a Pat in Maryland. You there?
We have a Pat in Maryland.
Yeah, Andrew and Pat both on the line. We're double called. Pat's calling back. What's up, Pat?
Dude, you guys are forgetting old-time classic.
What?
Caddyshack.
Right off the bat,
Caddyshack. Caddyshack. Animal House.
I guess you were further down the list than what I heard you guys saying, but...
No, that's a great call. Pat, that is a great call. That was literally the first one.
It's funny, we were talking about that. We're like, some people are going to say Caddyshack.
Yeah, Caddyshack and Animal House.
Right off the tap, because for me, that is pretty fucking funny.
Caddyshack, Animal House, and Airplane.
Bueller.
Oh, that's a great one. Right on. That's a great one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I think John Hughes
What's that, Andrew?
Oh, the Matthew Broderick, John Hughes ad.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, it's funny commercial coming out for the Super Bowl.
That is.
All right, guys. I'm going to sit back and enjoy the show. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, no. Thanks, Pat. Do you like stoner comedies or drunk comedies better? That's the thing. I mean, there's your half-baked.
Half-Baked was a funny movie.
Yeah, Fast Times is kind of a
Half-Baked was a funny movie, but it's also one of those movies you feel they might have made for like $90. You know, so that's a great movie.
Andrew's still here with us. Do you take to things like a beer pong or the... We have Pam in San Diego, too. Gosh, we're getting pounded by calls.
Take Pam. I will sign off and give you guys Pam.
Andrew, thank you so much for calling in with good
talk
call.
To you later.
Thank you for calling, Andrew.
Pam, we have Pam in San Diego. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love the list, but I want to add a couple movies.
Fantastic.
For the best comedies.
Yeah.
We add Austin Powers.
That's a good one.
Yes. Austin Powers 1, Austin Powers Gold Member.
Any comedy that spawns like 17 sequels is usually a great call. That's a great call.
Oh, really? Yeah. Ernest Saves Christmas? Good?
I said almost.
Almost. Okay. You're saved. And what else, Pam?
No. My next one is Dr. Strangelove.
loved it.
Oh, that's a great
call. To the deep Kubrick files. That yes, Dr. Strange Love. They're stealing my essence, my fluids.
That's a great one.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, wow.
Sir, gentlemen, there's no fighting in the war room. That's a good, Dr. Strange Love is a really good call. Thanks, fam. That's you're right. There are some dark, twisted ones out there. For comedy. Janet, in L.A., what's your favorite comedy? And she's gone. Pam.
Pam, you still here? I have a question for you. You still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
So let me ask you this, because I was just talking to one of our other callers about this. How does Animal House and Caddyshack, does that play as well with the female audience as some of the other comedies we were talking about?
You know, that's a great question. I actually thought, I could weigh in on that when you were talking about it. I would say I've seen them maybe once or twice, but yeah, it doesn't play with me the way it does with the guys.
I think you're right. I tend to think that's the fact. As soon as you said you saw it once or twice, that alone tells me, because most guys I know have seen Caddyshack, 20 times at least in pieces all over the place. But I never got the feeling. I can't recall a woman ever saying, "Yeah, that's one of my favorites."
Definitely not.
Now, what about Bridesmaids?
And also, basically, the same thing for me, personally, for all the Monty Python stuff. Not so much into it.
But. Yeah, no. I'm with you on that.
I was actually in a sketch in high school of, stuff from the TV show. It was, How Not to Get Found. And there
really?
It was a sketch of How Not to Get Found. People were hiding and, exploding. And I'd never seen the sketch, but I was in it trying to do a Monty Python. What about Anchorman? Do you like Anchorman?
I like Anchorman. Anchorman cracked me.
Yeah, I love Anchorman, man. And also, actually, that was another one, was going to be the 40-year-old version. It was awesome.
Yes, that's also a great call. So then you're a lot of you. Well, actually, you know what? The fact that you had
Catherine Keener and Christina Applegate had strong roles in both 40-year-old version and Anchorman.
Yeah.
Got to have something to relate. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that you liked Anchorman as well. I'm surprised.
What about When Harry Met Sally?
That was one of my favorites. That was one of my favorites of all time.
I think that's a great film.
I think.
What do you think, Pam?
Awesome. Yeah, those kinds would definitely play more to the women, I would say, as well, because it's a romantic comedy, really, but it was just hilarious. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that is. Now, what about The Princess Bride? Did you ever see The Princess Bride?
Oh, well, I love that. Yeah, I guess that would qualify as a comedy. Yeah, let's put it on the list.
Well, I'm going to throw it on the list, but when someone says, I guess that qualifies as a comedy,
let me ask you about generic comedies that tend to cast the same people in the same kind of things. What do you think about How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
No. That is a good answer.
I hear it as it come down. I thought it was pretty funny. I just like when she busted it on poker night.
Now, what about old Chevy Chase stuff? What about Vacation or Fletch?
Foul Play.
Foul Play was fun.
Yeah.
But it seems like old times.
I think I saw Vacation probably a million times more than I saw Fletch, but I think both were funny.
Both Vacation and Fletch have to go on there.
Just write them down.
I would put Vacation over Fletch, personally.
I think so. And here's the thing is, I think Fletch gets quoted from my male friends more, but I think Vacation, I think Vacation has a bigger audience. I mean, to be honest with you, I think all these subsequent Vacations, all Vacation 2 through 12 or whatever they did, nowhere close. Nowhere close.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. Moose out front should have told you.
Oh, John Candy.
Yeah.
Speaking of another random John Candy appearance, has anybody else seen Stripes? Stripes was right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Stripes is a great
comedy. Are you unsure if you saw Stripes, or are you unsure if you liked Stripes?
I'm not sure if I saw the whole thing. So I don't know if I can do
that. Well,
they get their shit together. Trust me, it's really cool.
Turns out things work out
well.
There's
like a super cool RV in the end. It's like a military RV. It's like a love RV.
Oh, dude, that's an awesome.
Sean Young was in Stripes.
Yes, you was. That is a good thing.
Remembers.
That's it. Yeah, there was a lot of random people that were in there. Harold Ramis is all over this list, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah.
I liked Evolution. It's a quirky, weird film. I don't know if anybody out there likes Evolution.
Never saw it.
Harold Ramis. I saw parts of directed. Evolution.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Three quarters of it. It's really funny.
But here's the thing is, when you're making a list, eh is not
what
a great
noise. What was
funnier
was the behind the scenes when Julianne Moore said they were talking about one of the gorilla-looking things that had no, like, genitalia, and they called it a mangina. And I, ever since then, I've picked up the term mangina. But
I wonder how often that comes into play for you.
Julianne Moore is pretty funny. Do you think Julianne Moore is funny, Pam?
Yeah, actually, I would love to see that HBO flick that you guys were talking about.
Oh, Game Changer.
Yeah, that looks very interesting.
Yeah.
What about
great. Her.
Now, what about Mel Brooks movies? Do you have a Mel Brooks favorite?
I would like The History of the World Part 1, definitely.
Yeah.
Another movie, I don't know if it makes top 10, it's actually not Mel Brooks, but is Defending Your Life.
Albert Einstein. Yes. Meryl Streep. I love that movie. Yeah. I love Defending Your Life. That is, it's like 11th on a top 10. I mean, it's so close. I would put that way up there.
So right now, this list of 38, he already assigned this to number 11. I like it.
Defending Your Life is great. I love when she's talking about her hotel versus his hotel. He has like this cheesy continental breakfast. She's like, I've got a buffet of like nice eggs and omelets and... And she loves how you can eat anything you want. You don't gain weight. Yeah. It's a great heaven.
He's always funny. But have you ever noticed comedians love him? Love him.
Oh.
Albert Brooks.
Yeah, no. But speaking of Albert Brooks, there is one Albert Brooks movie. What's the one where he's in the RV across America? Oh, God. I can't remember now. I got to look it up.
Oh, God, he's looking stuff up.
I know. I'm going to have to look it up. But
what's that?
Robin Williams was in an RV and he went.
Oh,
I was
Lord,
in RV.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Was the movie RV?
Well, I tell people that nobody saw it, so I can tell people.
Are you in the movie?
No, not at all. But I tell people I was because nobody saw it. But it was publicized enough. It's one of those things I tell new coming actors to just say they were the third lead in RV. And everyone goes, "Oh my God, that was great! The Robin Williams movie." They're like, "Yeah." They could be like, did you see it? They go, no. They go, yeah, I was the third lead. That's a great intro to the entertainment industry.
That is...
Lost in America. That's the Albert Brooks movie. Did you ever see Lost in America, Pam?
Lost in America.
I don't know. I have not seen that one.
It's a 1985 release. They pick up and they sell everything and put to an RV and hit the road.
You really want me to write Lost in America on this list? Seriously, you want me to write that on this
list?
It's
an Albert Brooks film. It's brilliant. Broadcast News.
I know.
What about that? That's a great comedy. Are you going to deny me my Broadcast News? No.
You know what?
Fine. On top of comedies, don't. How about The Simpsons movie? You like that? Is that funny?
It's funny, but it's not funny enough.
Fine.
Not funny enough. I'll give you Broadcast. Yeah,
apparently, my picks aren't good.
No, Broadcast News is on the list. Broadcast News is on the list. But did you really want me to write a movie that you knew was not going to make the top
Coming to America?
Coming to America is different.
No, what about
Coming
that?
Coming to America is
what
fun.
About Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, Eddie Murphy. Where's America. Oh, what about Beverly Hills Cop? Beverly Hills Cop? What?
We're talking action or comedy or
Is
action
Beverly
comedy?
Hills Cop a comedy?
Pam? Beverly Hills Cop?
Pam, you're currently the judge. Is that a comedy?
Well, again, yeah, that's the question. Beverly Hills Cop is a comedy, but it's like Princess Bride. What genre does it actually fall in?
I think any movie with Andre the Giant's funny. That's right off the bat. So I think.
Yeah. Okay, let's put them on the list.
I could crush your skull.
Yeah. Okay. So Beverly Hills Cop.
Police Academy have to make it as well.
Which one?
The same. Police Academy.
Oh yeah. Well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's a great
that's
call.
Top 10.
Well, that was a great. Top 10. That was a great movie that you forget was great because they made 600 of them. When you're like Police Academy, like, you know.
11.
Like live in Rhode Island. You're like, why are you doing that? That's not helping anybody. But
unbelievable. Thanks for calling, Pam.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate that. Thanks for.
Love the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening from San Diego, California. The world's most beautiful weather.
Oh, yes, it is.
You stay sexy, San Diego.
That was
Take care of yourself,
movie.
San Diego.
I quote the hell. That movie gets quoted a lot now, too. That movie gets quoted all the time.
Yeah, no, Anchorman's on the list, right?
Yes.
You put that, like, high.
That's right there.
Top 10.
That's right there.
Like, three. Like, Anchorman is so quotable.
It's got a dot right next to it, which signifies nothing.
Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. We're building the top comedies of all times. We might have to go to like a 20 list. TV shows, we went down to 10.
We might have to go 20 on this.
Yeah, movies. There's too many fucking funny movies out there.
We might have to go 20.
Thanks so much for all the callers tonight. Everyone participating. Thanks
for
listening.
Spinal Tap.
Oh.
Spinal Tap make the list?
I'm not going to say anything about 11 or anything going to 11 because that's the number one go-to. But I will say this one quote from Spinal Tap. He choked on vomit. We don't know if it was his own vomit, but it was he choked. The official declaration was choked on vomit. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's the call sheet. I'm Keith. I'm here with Gus.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
And go Giants.
Yeah, go Giants. Thanks. Jeremy, give right. it.
Go Rock Giants.
On. Atta boy.
Nice. All right, thanks. And here, listen a little more. Jeff Fiorentino, JF Rocks. Let's rock on. All right, good night, everybody. Thanks for listening in.
Go Giants.